Good day, everyone. Michael Posnick here with my very exciting, unrehearsed, unscripted, and unhinged podcast coming to you live from the Charlottetown waterfront with a giant snowbank beside the studio here, which is actually a truck. I have our special guest has decided to return after all the abuse from the prior podcasts. Let's welcome Powerhouse Patty.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for inviting me back on again on this beautiful, cloudy, overcast Sunday in February.
Well, we're lucky to have you with the infinite list of people that do want to be on this podcast and expose their experience, wisdom, and knowledge to our 8 listeners. So thanks for showing up. Today, we're actually going to be talking about something that Patty brought up yesterday. And what that is how you can get a 4% discount on the purchase price of a house over what you could get maybe dealing with someone that, let's just say, doesn't have the real estate negotiating and isn't certified in negotiating real estate on the behalf of the client. I don't know if I said that clearly enough. But let's start over from the beginning as far as you're looking for a property. Our other podcast has covered the fact that you want a buyer's agent. You don't want to be just dealing with the listing agent. You want to deal with a buyer's agent. And the next step to me would be, deal with an agent that is certified and has the credentials to negotiate the absolute best deal for you. Common sense to me dictates you're going to get a better deal if you have a good negotiator on your side, especially if you're dealing with a weak negotiator on the listing side. But yesterday, Patty ran the statistics of the agents and segregated those agents that had certifications in negotiating real estate and those agents that did not, that were winging it. Keep in mind, to get your real estate license and PEI is basically how many weeks?
It's a 9-week course,
part-time course. You can do it at night.
Have to do a pre-registration.
Don't show up.
No, you have to show up. But yeah, it's just it gives you the basics, some of the rules around and here on PEI, and I'm sure other provinces have their own. But what buying and selling real estate, some of the laws and the rules around it, Real Estate Trading Act are.
But they don't teach negotiating.
They don't teach how to run.
They teach you the forms.
They don't teach
FinTrack.
Exactly.
Keep the broker out of jail. So the point I'm making is, when you're dealing with an agent, and this pretty well applies to any province and state, they're not teaching that agent typically negotiating. It's up to that agent to take the time, the money, and the energy to further their education and spend hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in travel sometimes to learn those skills. Now, when Patty ran the numbers of the certified negotiators versus the non-certified negotiator, she found an interesting number, and that number, I feel like this is Sesame Street, was the number 4. Yes. Explain.
So, and the importance, and I mean, what we want our listeners to understand is the importance to make sure that when you're looking for a realtor or a sales representative to represent you in a purchase of a property, which is, in most cases, a person's largest purchase, you want to make sure, as, again, depending on what side of the fence you're on, if you're a seller's agent, like a listing agent, and you're representing the seller, you've got somebody who will be able to keep as much money in your pocket or get you as much money. And if you're on the buyers and you have a buyer's representative, you want to make sure that that salesperson has the credentials, and they're not just saying, "Well, yes, I've done, you know, sales. I'm a negotiator, trained negotiator." Tell me what your credentials are. Tell me where you sought your education. So when we were pulling just some stats, and we were just doing it on PEI, the ones that were trained and had some sort of negotiation designation, on average, got 4% less than the industry standard, the industry average here on our island, which we thought was really fascinating and something that I don't think the public and consumers understand, the value of having a buyer's representative. I still get calls. I got a call this week again from a gentleman. interested in one of my property listings. And he said, I always go through the listing agent. And I had just said, well, and that is fine. I appreciate the phone call. However, I feel you're doing yourself a disservice by calling listing agents. And I, without getting into a lengthy explanation with him, because he wasn't really interested and he felt his way was the best way, I didn't have time to educate and it didn't sound like he was interested. But know that if you have a trained real estate professional, not just trained that are minimum 3-4 courses a year requirement, which is just very general basic education courses, those who seek out education, third-party education, which is why I'm going to a real estate conference in a couple weeks, is to better improve my skills and make sure that I get the best deal for my client, whether I'm on the seller side or the buyer side. So additional credentials, additional designations or education is so, so important when somebody is representing thousands and in some case tens of thousands of your dollars. You want to make sure that person's trained and it's not a family member, a friend, an old high school buddy.
Brother, cousin, uncle is what we call it.
Yeah. You just want to make sure they're educated. Don't worry about feelings. Don't worry about trying to keep the relationship. Keep the money in your pocket. And if you get a trained professional as a consumer, you have the right to say, what training do you have to handle my transaction here?
So bottom line, if you go the cousin, brother, uncle route, which is infamous here on the island, you could be losing and probably are losing or spending thousands of dollars more. In this point, it's 4%, a 4% discount by using someone that actually knows what they're doing in the form of negotiating and uses not only the tool of their certification and what they've learned. Hopefully you're hiring an agent that's done transactions, hopefully thousands of them, the very minimum hundreds of them over decades, in my opinion, not someone that's a hobbyist. When markets get good, everybody and their brother has a real estate license. Are you getting the best representation? No. It would be no different than hiring Bob's legal and automotive services if Bob is dabbling in the law, which probably won't keep you out of jail and won't win that divorce. So when you're hiring an agent, you know, don't just pick the smiling face, pick the experience, the credentials, and what's proven as a track record to save you money. You want to comment?
No, I completely agree. And make sure that the representative has, you know, they do more than a transaction every month or every other month or every quarter. They may say, yeah, I've sold properties, but the more transactions an agent has done along with the designations and the training and the education, you should be in pretty good hands.
So taking it a step further, what else can we do to negotiate a better deal? Well, in the ultimate world, most people won't follow these guidelines because they become, well, they violate one of the rules. And I'll get to that rule last. But the first rule is time. Time is always the best negotiator. Even before that, more importantly, I just assume this is done, which a lot of agents don't do, is I want to know absolutely everything there is to know about this property, the people that are selling it, their circumstances, where they're going, if they found something, do they have an offer in another house, are they motivated? There's 100 or more questions I will have for that listing agent. Also, I can go on Facebook, I can go onto LinkedIn. There's a lot of, how do you put this, stupid things people do on social media.
No, absolutely. No, they're... They give away, so those of our listeners that have education training, they, without realizing, the client gives away their BATNA, which is their position.
It basically means you have a plan B, but do your due diligence. And what I mean by stupid things on Facebook is, just as an example, Patty and I were looking at a house a few weeks ago that it was lipstick on a pig, which is a term that basically means you're taking a house that needs a lot of work you're throwing a coat of paint on, some wallpaper, maybe a new kitchen in, and then you're upping the price by 50%. Well, that's fine and dandy. People do that. You have an opportunity to make some money, and if that's what you do, great, all the power to you. But you don't paste it on Facebook saying some idiot's going to buy this house just because I redid the kitchen. This is what it looked like before, and this is what it looks like now. Probably a bad move, because the purchasers or the purchaser's agent, if they're experienced, they're going to look at social media and see what your motivation is to move. Now, the other thing, and then we'll get back to BATNA, would be you've got time, you've got due diligence, knowing absolutely everything there is to know about the property, so you can come armed with ammunition to negotiate on, because you don't know what the negotiating tools you're going to use with this particular vendor. They may not be looking for price. They may be looking for a quick closing. They may be looking to sell the house furnished. Maybe these people have an emotional attachment to their generator and they want to keep it because life is going to change if they don't have their third family member, which is their generator. These are the things we need to know. This is a real case situation. Funny, but it's true. Now, the last major rule is the rule that most people can't follow in real estate unless they're professional real estate people, which is have absolutely zero emotion involved in the transaction, which gives you the advantage of time because you don't care if you lose that property because you know as a professional real estate person, another property is probably going to come along and it may even be better than the first property and probably will if you're an optimist like me. So having an emotional distance with the transaction is hugely important, but it doesn't happen a lot when you're dealing with a retail buyer because a lot of them will tell us, I want this house. I don't care what it costs. Give them whatever they want. Well, there's no negotiating there. You may as well just fill out a check, sign it at the bottom, let the vendors fill in the amount and call it a day. Back to BATNA. Better alternative to negotiated agreement is, I'm digging that up for my, I think better sounds better. Since I made it up.
No, it's the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. So you don't want to give away your BATNA because it just strengthens. If it's been disclosed and you have a trained realtor or a negotiator on the other side, they're going to use that against you. So
right. And that brings us to another point is interrogate the listing agent. Ask them a whole pile of different questions. If they're experienced and they know what they're doing, you're probably not going to get anything. In a lot of cases, what would you say the percentage is?
Oh,
99?
Yeah, it's a, I would say it's high. We'll sing like a canary, and they will give you a lot of information. Or the listing agent, unfortunately, releases too much information to a buyer inquiry without doing their due diligence and making sure that this buyer doesn't already have an agent, and then goes back to their agent and reports everything back to their buyer's agent saying, I just got all this information. This is everything that the listing agent told me. So as a listing agent, you want to make sure you're not disclosing too much. As a buyer's agent and buyer, you want to get as much information as you can.
Right. So when someone asks the listing agent, you know, is there any motivation?
What's the number one question, would you say?
Or is the vendor motivated, which converts into, will they take a crappy lowball offer?
Okay, so question number two.
Question number two.
Why are they selling? I always get, why are they selling?
Yeah, which they're selling because they want to convert the asset into cash.
That's your answer?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Well, what am I going to say? They're going through a divorce. He's got to get out of town. He's wanted by the law. She hates friggin' Prince Edward Island. They just want to get rid of the house at any price.
And when you say that, that goes back to what you were saying about social media. So social media, and I've had clients that have done this in the past as me being a listing agent, who has the wife, in this instance, posted on Facebook that they were separating and they were selling off a bunch of their stuff. Guess what happened? We kept receiving all these lowball offers, and I finally asked one of the agents, why are you submitting such a low offer? And this agent said to me, well, they're separating. I went, how do you know this? And she goes, it's all over Facebook. My clients are part of a circle that this particular seller was in, And she sang like a canary and told everybody. She took away our position, our negotiating position, which I had to break the news to the husband. And he was absolutely furious. But I said, there's nothing I can do. She's put it out there. I always advise my clients, my listing clients, do not post anything on social media. Do not say anything. And the same with buyers. Very little, because I'm telling you, clients are pretty savvy today, most of them, and they will Google your name. They will see what you got going on. And some of them use that, unfortunately, against you as well with negotiations. If you've got higher positions, and keep your profile simple.
And if you're coming from Southern Ontario, it's not like PEI. PEI is like a small town. Everybody knows everybody. So if you tell somebody that you're getting a divorce and you're selling your house and you just want out of here next week and you don't care what the price is, that is going to travel through the island within 24 hours. Not so much if you live in Toronto, Hamilton, Burlington, Oakville, Mississauga, Oshawa, Whitby, Scarborough, Markham, Richmond Hill, or Ottawa, which is where all our buyers are coming from. You sell a house in Ottawa, they're not going to hear the rumor mill like they will on the island.
So, going full circle here, it wouldn't matter how well-trained your real estate professional is, if you're working against them by saying too much and sharing information, a highly trained negotiator will get you the best deal. As long as you work with your sales professional to facilitate that. So
that's it.
Sounds like, yeah, I think that was good. I
would say good. It was okay.
Was it okay?
Which is probably two or three steps above our usual podcast.
No,
we've reached it to the okay level. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Have a great day.